Thank you. God is indeed merciful and mighty, and here in our midst today. And God is the one who gathers us and greets us with these words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ by the mighty and renewing work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to worship this morning at LaGrave Avenue Christian Reformed Church. Welcome to those in this very full sanctuary, and welcome to those joining in our virtual sanctuary through the live stream. It is our hope and prayer that you will encounter the Spirit of the living God as we worship together by word and song. We are delighted to worship this morning with the King's Brass. In your order of worship, you can read more about the group, and you're welcome to say hello to them after the service in the narthex. So we warmly welcome Tim Zimmerman and the King's Brass. Thank you for sharing your gifts with us today. District coffees continue this morning, so check your announcements for details. And everyone is welcome to linger for coffee and fellowship following morning worship, and that will be in the multipurpose room through the narthex and on the right. You will find doors open in spite of the construction tarps. We also welcome several new members today. Their names are printed in your announcements. But at this time, I invite Dick Van Halsma to stand. Dick is joining LaGrave, having recently moved back to West Michigan after living in Florida. Although Dick was born and raised in Grand Rapids, he has lived in Europe and elsewhere abroad before he settled down in Charlotte, North Carolina, raising four daughters. Dick enjoys biking, traveling, and photography, and I know he's not the only one here with those hobbies, so you'll have a chance to greet Dick after the service. Dick, we are thankful that you are calling LaGrave your church family, and we warmly welcome you to our community. You may be seated. In this place today, it is not hard to see that God is building one church out of many people. The presence of God is felt as we are united in a bond of peace. As we turn our hearts and minds toward confession, let us remember the mercy of God which brought us near and the bond of peace which strengthens us. Let us also consider how we are being built into this holy temple, using Paul's words in his letter to the Ephesians. And he, that is Jesus, came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We join our hearts and voices in this prayer of confession printed in your order of worship, praying together. Loving God,
friend of far and near, by your Spirit we enjoy peace together. You have called us to be joined together as a holy temple in the Lord. Let us not build on any foundation except that of Jesus Christ. Forgive us when we fail to live into our calling as saints and members of your household. Christ Church, bind us together in love and peace, building us up as a witnessing, welcoming, and forgiving community of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Paul's words to the Ephesians offer us consolation as those who have confessed our sins. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. for he himself is our peace. Hear then the good news that in Jesus Christ we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. This morning, we celebrate the work of God among us as we witness a profession of faith and two baptisms. In the sacrament of holy baptism, we are adopted as God's own children in Jesus Christ and made members of the body of Christ. Public profession of faith is a response to God's promises sealed to us in our baptism. Dana, I invite you to join me, standing in front of this faith family who loves you. Dana Schuler Day is here this morning with her spouse Tristan and daughter Joanna to declare her personal faith in Christ and to take her place within the church community at La Grave. Dana, in your baptism back in 2001, a day you don't even remember, you were adopted as God's child and made a member of the body of Christ. In your baptism, you were united with Christ in his death and resurrection and promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in your baptism, you were called to personally respond to God's promises by publicly declaring your faith in Jesus Christ. Today marks a significant milestone on your faith journey. And Dana, we rejoice that you have decided to respond to your baptism by publicly professing your faith. I'm going to ask you a series of questions, and at the end, I will ask you to respond, saying, "I do, God helping me." Dana, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God sent to redeem the world? Do you love and trust him as the one who saves you from your sin? And do you, with repentance and joy, embrace him as Lord of your life? Do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God revealing Christ and his redemption, and that the confessions of this church faithfully reflect this revelation? Do you accept the gracious promises of God sealed to you in your baptism? And do you affirm your union with Christ and his church, which your baptism signifies? And finally, do you promise to do all you can, with the help of the Holy Spirit, to strengthen your love and commitment to Christ by sharing faithfully in the life of the church, honoring and submitting to its authority? And do you join with the people of God in doing the work of the Lord everywhere? Dana, what is your answer? Amen. LaGrave Congregation, as the faith family who welcomes Dana, we make a promise to her today. Please make your promise, responding to my question, saying, "We do, God helping us." Congregation of LaGrave, do you promise to love and support Dana with your prayers, encouragement, and support? We do, God helping us. Dana, joyfully, we receive you as a full participant in the life and mission of the church. We join together, giving witness in the world to the good news, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And so to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. And you may return to your seat.
Because it will be our joy to witness the baptisms of two of our youngest members. We'll witness God's grace poured out, and the babies who are here might try to steal the show. They're pretty cute. But watch carefully, because this is about God's work in their lives. In Galatians 3, the Apostle Paul says, "As many of you as were baptized into Christ are wearing Christ. You're clothed with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek, no longer slave or free, no longer male and female, for you are all one in Christ." This morning, Joanna Schuler Day and Levi Hahn will receive God's grace in baptism. So we welcome the families who are with you and standing with you in this important moment today to witness and to celebrate your birthday in the church. We're also aware that there are two LaGrave member grandpas who are very present in your minds and your hearts, but who are present with the Lord and not here today. So we witness together today to the breadth and depth of God's kingdom, stretching from we who are gathered here and those who are gathered in heaven around the throne of God. Our God has always sought to be in relationship with his people, to keep covenant with them. And so over and over in the Old Testament, God says, "I will be their God. They will be my people." God called Abraham and Sarah to trust him. He gave them the covenant sign of circumcision to show in their bodies that they belonged to him. In baptism now, God claims us in Jesus Christ. He marks us on our bodies as his own people, freeing us from the power of sin, the power of death, and uniting us with Jesus in his death and resurrection. God included kids in that covenant from the very beginning. So by baptizing little ones in this church, we recognize that God has offered us grace in Christ, and that grace extends to kids just as it does to adults. We teach kids, and your children will hear this from a young age, that they have been set apart to belong to God. So this morning, as we baptize Joanna and Levi, we celebrate the bedrock promise of our lives, the promise of life in Christ, the foundation that he's building in our lives, and his work to set us free to belong to him. So Tristan and Dana and Victoria and Elliot, please stand right where you are. This is a moment for vows. This is your time to make promises before God and before his people about your intentions and your desire for your children. So do you believe Dana and Victoria, that Jesus is your Savior, the only one who can restore you to right relationship with God, the one in whom all things hold together, and the one who makes everything new? Do you believe that your child, Joanna, Levi, sweet as they are, that they too have been born with the same sinful nature that all of us have been born with? They too are in desperate need of God's grace, that baptism marks them with God's covenant of grace for children of believing parents? Do you promise to do all you can, relying on the Holy Spirit to raise Joanna and to raise Levi, so that they too come to see their need for a Savior, that they come to know Christ as the one who saves them and brings them into right relationship with Him? Dana, we'll start with you. What is your answer? Amen. And Victoria, what is your answer? Amen. You may be seated for just a minute right there. Congregation, we also make vows. As we just did for Dana in her profession of faith, we'll make promises to her and to her child. Do you, the family of God at LaGrave Christian Reformed Church, promise to receive Joanna and Levi in love? Do you promise to pray for them? And by your words, by your example, by your service, as God gives you opportunity, will you instruct them in the way of Christ and encourage them in their faith journey? Congregation, what is your answer? We do. God helping us. So Tristan and Dana and Victoria and Elliot, you're welcome to come forward for the baptism. And prayer partners, I'm not sure where you're seated, but you're very welcome to come forward as well. Our church assigns prayer partners for each family. Yeah, come on, right over here. For each family of children who are baptized in this church. And these folks are standing here in part in fulfillment of the promise you all just made, that they will pray for these ones on their faith journey. So welcome. Kiddos, this is your family, okay? So you have families that you've been born into, and you have a family in faith. So Joanna and Levi, for you, Jesus came into the world. For you, he lived and died and showed God's love. He rose again. All of this he did for you, even though you don't know anything about it yet. We love in answer to God's love for us. So, Joanna Josephine Schuler Day, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Levi James Hahn, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And Aaron, let's just come right over here. So we're going to come near to you, prayer partner pledgers. We're so grateful for your involvement in the lives of these children. So grateful for those of you who pray so faithfully for so many in our church and who desire to see them come to know Christ. Let's pray together. Lord our God, thank you for receiving children in love. Thank you for blessing us as a faith community with people all along the path, those who have known you for long years and those who are just beginning on their journey. Lord, would you bless and keep these families as they raise their children to know and love and serve you? Would you make your face shine on them and your grace abound to them? Would you lift up your smile upon them and give them your peace today and forever? Especially when their way is unclear or the days are challenging. God, would you make yourself abundantly real in their lives? May the community of faith help them with the promises they've made And may your spirit be at work in and through all of us. In Christ's name, amen. And now we're going to sing together. Thank you. God bless you.
Beloved, will you join me in prayer? Almighty God, how thankful we are for this moment in time. This moment to sit in a sanctuary, a safe place in your presence. Some of us seek sanctuary from overwhelming, chaotic lives. Others seek sanctuary in the midst of delightful lives. And so we give you thanks for being steadfast, a sanctuary we can count on in chaos or delight. Jesus, from the beginning of time, you have been the Word, one with God. You are the Word through whom all things were made, and in you all things are held together. All things are held together. Our world, our country, our city, our homes, our lives. Gracious God, we need you to hold all things together. This morning, we remember your people in India, those who wait for justice and for their well-being to matter, or those who experience violence because of their commitment to Jesus. We celebrate the work of Michael Hoisington and Reverend Lama, who are your hands helping to hold your people in India. We also remember healthcare professionals who are your hands helping to hold your people. We think of those we love who are in the hands of medical teams, especially Ed Hoeksema, Jim Kroll, Millie Vrend, and all who are receiving hospice care. We think of all the caregivers and say thank you for their gentleness and patience. Tender Shepherd, we need you to hold those we love who are grieving. Roger and Sue Bratt and Elaine DeStichter, comfort them and carry them close as they journey through the fog of grief. Thank you, Lord, that you also hold all the good things. You've held Dana since her baptism, and you promise to always hold her. You've held Joanna and Levi, and you will carry them as they grow in faith. Thank you for holding Marilyn DeYoung through her surgery. And we know you will hold the GEMS leaders as they are built up for another year of being your hands, helping to hold our younger sisters in Christ. Loving God, you are holding us, and you are building us. You are building us up to be your dwelling place, a sanctuary, with Christ Jesus, the cornerstone by which we set the bricks of our moments. Build us up, O God, brick by brick, moment by moment, into a holy temple, fit as a dwelling for the Lord. Remind us that you are the builder and the architect. Make us sensitive to notice the places you are asking us to occupy in the building that is your church in the world. Thank you that we do not build ourselves into the church in the world. We have the gift of your Spirit and the friendship of our brother Jesus. All this we pray through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Children, it's time for the children's message. So if you haven't already started to make your way down, come on down. We'll talk together for a minute. Hello. Emma, come scooch this way. We're going to kind of gather this way just a little bit today. Awesome. We got the two Emmas down first. Right here is great, Edward. Thanks. And James. Hi, everybody. Oh, it does my heart good to see you. Welcome to worship this morning. Have you been staying cool enough as it's been so hot and sweaty outside? Yeah, not so much. Okay, well, we're trying. This morning I brought some things along with me because today we're reading a Bible passage about two ways to build. It's a story that Jesus tells. And so I brought some building materials to look at with you together. So first, what are these things, you know? Yeah, Zoe, what are they? Cotton swabs. Yeah, okay. So if I were going to do a craft and I wanted to build a little house, do you think I could do it with cotton swabs? You think I could, like, lay them across from each other like this and then, like, lay some across here and this way and this way? Okay, Edward says, yeah, maybe you could.
If you had glue, you could, like, make a house.
If you had glue. Glue would be a key ingredient. Yeah, so that's not so great, right, for making a house.
So, to help it stay steady.
To help it stay steady, absolutely. You are anticipating my story. You're so right. Okay, so cotton swabs, without glue, not so great, right? But what about these? What's this?
Those are, I think, blocks.
Wooden blocks. Okay, so... So if I had a straight place to lay these blocks out, could I make a house with them? Yeah, I maybe could. Do you think if one of your siblings or your pet came by where you had built a house out of these blocks, do you think that that house would stay standing if somebody bumped into it?
No,
probably not. Okay, so maybe a little better than the cotton swabs. Yeah, Emma.
And your pet didn't knock it down yet, then when it's dry, the pet won't make it fall.
Yeah, so if the glue was dry, then your pet could walk by for sure, and then it wouldn't fall. Okay, now I got something else here. What are these?
Legos!
Okay, Legos. So, who knows about building a house with Legos? Some of you do, clearly. Yes. We love Legos. Okay, so I don't know the technical terms for Legos. You guys probably do. But this feels to me like kind of a foundation piece. You can build things on top of this Lego, and they will all be interconnected so that they rest on this Lego, right? You could build a pretty decent house out of Legos. So let me show you. This is a thing that I was told to be very careful with, so I'm going to try to honor that request. So if you have the right pieces, and if they are all connected to each other and the foundation, what can you build? You can build a pretty sturdy house. Now, it's disproving my theory because part of it just came off. But all connected to the foundation and all connected to each other, that house is going to stand. So playing with Legos reminds me a little bit of Jesus, because Jesus talks about himself being the foundation, and that when we're closely connected to him, even when hard or sad things happen in our life, even when the pet comes by and tries to knock it over, our house will still stand. Our lives will still stay safe in Jesus. That's what I wanted to talk with you about today, my friends. What is congregation? What is our prayer for these children? And also with you, go in peace. Let's gather ourselves for the reading of God's word. I'm going to pray for illumination. God, your word is a lamp for our feet. It's a light for our path. You are our goal and our reward. So speak as we open your word together tonight, today. Give us grace to hear and grace to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture passage this morning, one of them is from Matthew chapter 7, and the other one is from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll read them both, and we'll interact with both of them throughout the sermon. Hear these words from Matthew 7, starting at verse 24. Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. And we'll turn over to 1 Corinthians 3, starting at verse 10. Paul says to the Corinthians, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, or hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On June 24, 2021, the early morning quiet was pierced by the sound of collapsing concrete, shattering glass, and the rhythmic blare of fire alarms. A debris cloud materialized where a 12-story condo building had once stood. Within 12 seconds, a building that had housed people since the 1980s was reduced to rubble, with residents and pets inside. The collapse of the Champlain Towers South condo building outside Miami was among the most devastating accidental building collapses in United States history. The search and rescue operation, some of you remember probably watching, went on for weeks. Finally, it demobilized almost a month after the collapse itself. And in all, 98 people died. 11 were hurt. Since that condo collapse, investigations have been going on to try to find the cause. While the Surfside condos seem to have collapsed due to multiple factors, and the engineering friends in the congregation can help us understand those, it does seem that there was some kind of design flaw in the substructure for the pool deck. The support under a swimming pool deck failed, the pool collapsed, and the building began to fall too. Since that collapse, Florida residents and communities have been trying to work together to figure out what response to put together. What can residents afford? What can building code do to make sure that buildings are safe? When you hear a story or watch the news, like a Champlain Towers condo collapse, you realize that the shock and the tragedy of it commands some kind of response. You cannot hear stories like that of people affected by a failure while remaining indifferent to the profound loss and the cautionary tale that it issues. So we pick up Jesus' words at the end of the Sermon on the Mount today on just such a cautionary tale. Matthew is winding up the first of five teaching sections in his gospel, and he has sobering words on the lips of Jesus. Everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice, they're like a foolish man who built a house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. In this very startling picture, Jesus is highlighting that his teaching and his person are authoritative. Jesus' listeners cannot remain indifferent to him, to his words. His ministry commands a response. In this short word picture that so many of us sang about, building on the rock in Sunday school, Jesus warns his first hearers and us that what we do in response to him matters a whole lot. But wait, you might say, doesn't Le Grave belong to the Reformed branch of the Christian family? In this kind of faith community, we get a little twitchy whenever the words faith and works show up in the same sentence. If we've grown up in the church, we might right away think of Bible verses as counterexamples. Didn't Abraham believe God, and that belief was credited to him as righteousness? And in John 3:16, one of the first verses we ever memorize, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So yes, we believe that our faith in Jesus' righteous life and death and resurrection is both the saving tie and the gift of God, his grace in our lives. We have held on for dear life for the one who's already been holding on to us, who presents us without accusation, free from blemish, before the throne. We have been saved by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, according to Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. But there are these works count, so watch out, passages in the New Testament, as one of my former professors called them. These are the passages that motivate us, that cause us to sit up and take notice about how we're cooperating with God in his renovation project, in us and in the world he loves so much. Are we letting him build in us a life after his own heart? Here's Paul for the works count, so watch out, passages. 1 Corinthians. If what's been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if it's burned up, the builder will suffer loss, still being saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. Or even more clearly, here's Jesus' brother James. What good is it, brothers and sisters, if we have faith but no deeds? Is such faith able to save us? So what do we do with that? Do we need faith in Jesus plus? We treasure these verses that invite all of us who are weary and burdened to come to Jesus for rest. So is our faith in him truly different from all of the competing voices that call us always to be more, to do more? We only need to turn back a couple of pages in Matthew's gospel for part of an answer. Matthew starts the sermon that ends with this morning's passage in chapter 5. And Matthew 5 is incredible news. In the opening Beatitudes, Matthew shows us that the kinds of people that Jesus loves to be around are those who know their spiritual bankruptcy, Those who grieve it, those who seek mercy and offer it open-handedly, those who bear up under persecution and slander because they value proximity to Jesus above everything else. And after those opening blessings, Jesus outlines what life in his kingdom looks like. It's a kingdom that's both now and yet to come, both impossible to achieve, yet able to be received, marked by no entry standard other than a willingness to come, yet also holding up a standard for righteousness so high the Pharisees can't even meet it, a standard only perfectly kept by Jesus himself. It's a view of the life in the household of the kingdom of heaven. In this house that Jesus builds with his words, not only is murder out of the question, even hatred doesn't exist anymore. In this house, marriage relationships last, and no spouse, but particularly in the ancient world, no wife is dispensable. In this house, the carbonated holiness of laughter and trustworthy, straightforward speech makes oaths unnecessary. In this house, non-retaliation supersedes retribution. Love for enemies transforms people on both sides into kingdom citizens. In this house, critical feedback across the dinner table is almost indistinguishable from loving encouragement because offered in humble awareness of the critiquer's own spiritual needs. Here, physical needs are met, requests for spiritual sustenance are welcome, and grace upon grace upon grace is offered to fuel a life that is really life. This is life in the kingdom of heaven. It is breathtaking. If your heart skips a beat to live here, if your eyes well up with yearning for a home you have glimpsed but have not occupied for long, if your mind struggles to understand the practical outworkings of how such a kingdom actually works, let those things remind you. We're not home yet. Life in this household of the kingdom makes everything sad and sinful and isolating come undone. Because, of course, we know we've made a mess of things here. We might struggle to define the mess. We might debate whose fault it is or what it will take to fix the mess. But the ache in our chests when we wake up to this troubled world and the longing that we have for another way, oh, that speaks to our having been made for something else entirely. We've been trying to find our way back toward it again ever since God appointed cherubim with a flashing sword to guard the entrance to Eden. Because, oh, how we have missed walking with God in the cool of the day. So for Jesus, for Paul, for James, for the other New Testament writers, faith in Jesus doesn't mean that we simply agree with a set of doctrines about who Jesus is, and we go on about our lives as though nothing were different. Faith in Jesus means building a house and living in it with him. It means loving him, delighting to be near him, turning toward the Father through him. It means squaring up the walls and windows of our houses with who he says, what he says, and who he is for us. So when Jesus concludes this part of the sermon, this teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, with this dramatic picture of one house lifted off its foundations and flattened, and the other house battered and weathered, but still standing, he's not commenting on whether we need faith plus something more to come home and live with him. He is teaching and inviting his hearers to see that real faith includes real response, real acknowledgement, real desire to make our home with him in his love. In faith, we trust him. We work to cooperate with him, with what he says, who he is, and what he does. Hearing and heeding Jesus allows us to build life on the rock of his gracious redemption and his direction. This kind of life does not fall down entirely in the storms. But if we let Jesus' words go in one ear and out the other, if we don't make him our home, we're building a life on sand. Jesus' word picture calls us to come, to settle ourselves on the foundation of him for our individual lives. But Jesus is also the foundation of our life together, the corporate life of his church. The corporate dimension is what Paul speaks to in 1 Corinthians 3. By the grace God has given me, Paul writes, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and somebody else is building on it. Each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. The trouble that Paul is writing to address there is the fact that the Corinthian Christians were elevating some leaders above others as they brought the gospel to the church. They were splintering into factions based on their allegiance to one or the other. So Paul reminds them, all preachers, all church leaders depend on the gospel, Christ crucified. The story that trips up the Jews and is foolishness and ludicrous to the Gentiles. None of the leaders, Paul reminds them, are themselves the foundation. None of the projects that the church undertakes are themselves the foundation. Each one is only an apprentice to the master builder. Each one just a subcontractor, all on the same crew, serving together in the name of Christ. So Paul warns the church community, be careful. You yourselves, he says, are God's house, God's temple. Your work to build on the foundation of Christ can't branch out on the flimsy support of an individual leader or their giftedness. It can't be buttressed by your personal preferences, your personal sins, your personal projects. The only solid ground, the only cornerstone for the church is the good news, the gospel of life in Christ crucified. This foundation, Paul insists, will never let you down. The church may shake, the windows may rattle, but the foundation is secure. Whatever in the church is not built on Christ will be lost to the winds. But whatever is built on Christ will stand on the day of God's inspection when Jesus returns. In the temple for God's dwelling that we are as LaGrave Christian Reformed Church, a community, we seek to build together on the foundation of the gospel of Christ. Together we work on committees, we do projects, we lead children and youth, we ponder and pray over our past and our future. We seek to love each other and build each other up in the name of Jesus, in the manner of Jesus, and for the glory of Jesus. That's the ground that we stand on. So please join me as we ask God continually to establish us on the foundation of Christ, our cornerstone, our solid ground. Help us, Lord, to ground ourselves on you and your unshakable foundation. God, give us the wisdom and the vision by your Spirit and your word and the life of your Son to show us how to be a household together as the Spirit enables us to envision it so that our work together will last. No matter how grounded our work in Christ, no matter how carefully we build, we also acknowledge, as Aaron already prayed about, all of this work belongs to God. That's why we have an unfinished steeple. If you've ever noticed, or if you go outside today and you look up at the steeple of this church building, it's open work. Somebody who's architecturally informed knows what that's called better than I do also. But there's that steeple up there speaking to the unfinished work that Jesus is always doing to build his church. We're not the first ones to realize that the work is unfinished and partial and sometimes flawed. St. Thomas Aquinas is a theologian and philosopher of the 13th century, and his life work, this enormous written theological treatise, the Summa Theologica, is 5 volumes, several thousand pages long, and it presents the reasoning behind almost all of the doctrines of the church of his time. But 3 months before Aquinas' death, just before he turned 50, tradition holds that Aquinas had a glimpse into eternity. Whatever he saw of the beauty and the majesty and the suffering and the grace and the love of Christ, whatever he saw of the glory of God, affected him so much that he resolved never to pick up his pen again. And when his friend and secretary, Reginald, came to him and said, "Aquinas, why aren't you writing? Pick up your pen. The church needs your work." He said, "I cannot write anymore. Such things have been revealed to me that all I have written seems to me to be straw." Straw. An 800-year-old theological work still studied by graduate students and college students today. Straw. In comparison with the house and the dwelling that God is building. There's a kind of grace in the vision of God's glory that throws into sharp relief our human limitation. We are fragile. We see through a glass darkly. We construct as best we know how, ever seeking Christ, our foundation, and Christ, our hope. He alone can make our work soar to the heavens and sing of God. We build on the foundation as best we know, and we trust the God who created this world and redeemed it in love will establish his house, a living and eternal kingdom in the light of the life of his Son. Amen. Let's pray. God, your work is praiseworthy and magnificent and astonishing. And you've chosen to be in relationship with a people that you have called out of the world to be a dwelling for your name. So we ask you that you would root us and establish us in the love of Christ, that we may have together the knowledge of the love of Christ, that we may be rooted on the truth of Jesus and the word that he is and the words that he spoke, and that we may bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. God's household, God's temple. Go out with a blessing of your Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he lift up the light of his face upon you and give you his peace now and forever. Amen.